the debilitating pass from one generation to another.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Richmond has written some very interesting articles And I think I'm going to read just a little of one of them that I found very interesting, titled Finding and Removing the Deadly Psychological Weapons of Mass Destruction. And it reads something like this. It says, having searched the records of history all over the world and having examined the sacred writings of human society, the Church of Human Development made an enlightening discovery. The most lethal and enduring weapons of mass destruction used to enslave black people and to maintain the domination over them for the past 400 to 500 years have been done by infecting every black generation with the slave religion virus. And it goes on to say, through slave religion conversion at 12 years of age, the mind of the black community individually and collectively was and is evicted and displaced by a socially retarding inferiority complex and a slave mentality. Thereafter, being condemned to walk up and down the avenues of other men's minds. And then it goes on to say, this has resulted in most church-going black people in America accepting, praising, and declaring that they are saved, while passively existing in a state of chronic oppression in every category of life. The debilitating process of containment passed from one generation to another through the demand that every black child get converted to a slave religion has acquired its own dynamic and true to the Willie Lynch theory of making a slave has become self-perpetuating. The slave religious virus, loss of identity, self-hatred, low self-esteem, social passivity, and political docility is planted in the heart and soul of every black child subjected to a slave religious conversion. And then it goes on to say, the black community suffers now from a mental self-enslavement. In every sense of the word, we are a people who have lost our minds. Through slave religion conversion, we are stripped of our thinking processes and turned into believers in another. Thus, before we as a people will have a behavior change, we must have a change in our thinking. And then it goes on to say, to break the vicious cycle of the slave mentality, there must be a revolutionary reversing intervention process that puts the victims of the slave religion mind transplant back in touch with their reinforcing and affirming historical roots, origin, psychological and social reality. Now that's our guest tonight, or that's one of our guests. So y'all know it's going to be a very interesting show. And that was written, I believe, by Dr. Isaac Richmond. We're going to try to open up everybody's phone line. And with us also tonight, we have Dr. Dew. He's with Joy Christian Center, and he's also a fellow Blog Talk Radio host. So we're going to try to open up the phone lines here. I see Dr. Dew, and I see some numbers out of Memphis. I'm not sure if this is all of the people that I'm supposed to be opening your phone lines, but only if you're a guest right now should you have your hand up, and that's when you press the 1, and that lets me know that you are one of our scheduled guests right now. Okay, good evening, everyone. How are you? Dr. Isaac, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Dr. Isaac Richmond, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hello?
Yeah.
You are? And Dr. Dew, are you with us?
I'm right here. God bless. Good evening.
Okay. On my list of guests tonight, I'm supposed to have Dr. Isaac Richmond, Terry Sane, Maxine Sane, Joe Green, Helen Long, Maxine Thomas, and Vonda Brown. And all of you all are with the Coalition for Christ, or the Coalition of Christ?
Yes.
Okay, we have all of you on the phone lines?
All except
one. Terry Payne here.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Center Stage.
Yeah, hey.
Listen, in reading that article, and I call myself a good Christian, y'all. And Doc, I'll start with you, Dr. Isaac. After reading that article, I wonder, like, what am I doing right? Because it sounds like everything that I've been doing is wrong. So as a Christian, you know, I'm somewhat offended. What am I supposed to be doing that I'm not doing?
Well, I don't
You're going to have to come closer to the phone. Okay, we're not going to be, I don't know, are y'all doing a speaker? What are y'all doing? Yeah, you need to come just a little. Each person's going to have to talk directly into the phone.
Okay,
can't wait to get out. Okay, so that's a little bit better in order because you're not coming across clear.
This phone's up.
Try it one more time.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Now the cell. Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you very good. That last time, yes.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay, I'm listening. So as a Christian, based on, you know, your article, the finding and removing the deadly psychological weapons of mass destruction, me as a poor Christian, I feel like everything I'm doing is wrong. So what is it that I'm not doing that I'm supposed to be doing as a Christian?
Well, let me say this. I, an individual,
mm-hmm.
having been subjected to the socialization,
mm-hmm.
of religion, a community.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you made some decision to do something wrong. It's no more than believe this came out of every chimney. You simply believed it. You weren't doing anything wrong. That was just a lie. That was not true.
It sounds like from reading that article that people who are following, you know, like me, let's just say I'm a follower of like the Church of God in Christ, and I know at one time you were a principal with one of their schools, but
right. So
you know the thinking of the Church of God in Christ. So if I am a follower of that belief system, it sounds like based on that article, you say that I'm like maybe like being brainwashed. Let's just say that.
Let me to give a little background to why I call it the most lethal passes.
Okay, are y'all on cordless phones?
Yes.
Because the reception is poor, and I want people tonight to hear everything y'all got to say.
And
the reception is not very good, and I am so afraid they are not going to hear everything y'all going to say. Is there any way y'all could call in on the hotel phone?
No, we hear the hotels and so.
Okay. Well, just talk real. Real close to the phone. Okay, but back to what I was saying then. As a follower of the Church of God in Christ doctrine, it sounds like, you know, from that article, you're saying that I'm being pretty much brainwashed.
Well, here's what I'm saying. This the first thing, you know, religion,
mm-hmm.
the black, now the old.
Y'all are going in and out. Okay, let me do one thing. Let's see if I close your line and open it back up, will things get better? Because for some reason, I'm going to close everybody's phone line right now, and then I'm going to try to open them back up because some kind of reason we're not getting a good reception from them, and I want you all to hear everything Dr. Richmond and the Coalition for Christ has to say tonight. So we're going to start all over. We're going to open everybody's phone line. We're going to hope that makes it better. Is everyone there?
Everyone's here.
Okay,
yes.
Let's try again. I apologize, but you know sometimes how cell phones can be.
Oh, yeah, mine is kicked off once.
Okay. So what are you saying in that article then? What am I missing?
Well, it's interesting. I sent you that as some information about, well, the whole notion of religion,
mm-hmm.
For African slaves on
mm-hmm.
southern foundations and
mm-hmm.
plantations grew out of the missionary movement.
Mm-hmm.
There were white preachers and missionaries
mm-hmm.
who wanted to address the souls of black slaves. All
mm-hmm.
right. Well, they went to the masters and told them that they would like to provide religious instructions to the slaves. the masters made it clear to them, the state of Virginia even passed a law. I think it was 1667, passed a law that says, listen, you can give a slave all the religion and all the Jesus you want to, but be very clear to the slave that it has no bearing on his condition as a slave. Okay. Now, that is a religion that was passed to us, and so which brought us into accepting our social condition of servitude as ordained by Almighty God. Okay. Well, and so and not to mention the fact that we worship a false idol, or idol number one, for pictures and images and statues, number one, those are idols. But then we worship not only a false idol, but we are worshiping the very face of a slave master as our God. So you can so inferiority, you know, is second nature when the person who is your oppressor or your whatever, your brutalizer, and you see his face as God. Well, you're not going to fight against your God. He is better than you. Okay, that's the slave religion that brings on the slave mentality of accepting it without resistance. So who is in the process in religion? Who's in the process of resisting that notion? And it's known. I mean, it's accepted. And the black clergy class from the days of the plantation were trained. They were overseen by masters in terms of what they were going to teach, how they were going to teach it, and they bred and grew a group of people. And always that's a condition with an oppressed people. You have to cultivate. Masters cultivate from the indigenous community, who are people they call leaders, that are going to operate within the accepted level of the masters, whether it's education, whether it's religion. And so that's what we have. And you will notice that any minister that moves even outside of the framework, say Jeremiah Wright. You see what the society rolls up. Jeremiah Wright was accused of preaching liberation theology as if that was something evil and bad. Jesus was a liberator. Jesus did not come like to really just go somewhere and really just die. And so that your blood, and I'm going to wash it clean, and my blood has paid the whole price. Now, I don't want to get heavy into theology, but there is nowhere in the Bible that we believe in where God said that through one man, all men are sinners. That's not in the Bible. That's Pauline theology. That's a false concept.
Okay. Well, listen, we have Dr. Dew on the phone, and we have Prophetess Argina on the phone. How would y'all address what Dr. Isaac has just said?
I heard what he said, and I'm just a little concerned. But number one, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not a Christian per se, but I'm a follower of Christ. I don't practice religion, and I do not believe that Christ was a white man. I believe that he was what the Bible teaches. He was a Jewish man, ruddy. He was had coarse hair, looked almost black, and that's what I see when I think of Christ. But more important than Christ, because I follow Christ's teaching, but God in my worship, I worship God in spirit and in truth, not so. I approach it from a spiritual standpoint, not from a physical standpoint, because God is a spirit, and so we have to approach it from that level. And then I'm not sure when, I think he said that people are not all sinners. I think that's what I heard him say. And I just remember the scripture that I believe the scripture says that somewhere says that we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And so, you know, maybe they don't believe that scripture. I don't know. But I just believe the word as I read it and follow what I can see in the word in terms of as I study it and continue to learn. I'm always open to new things. But I do believe in what he's saying about the plantation theory. I think all of that makes sense because there are so many that do follow the various concepts from way back. I don't follow them, and of course that's why I'm not accepted by most of them. So I don't have a problem with that. You know, I don't, but I just think that all are sinners until they are received Christ in their heart and are transformed by God with a spiritual overtaking of the Spirit to have him implanted in their spirit. And then they become, you know, a child of God.
Okay. Well, one thing we do know, and we'll move on, but that was just some of the articles, pretty much, Dr. Isaac, and all the articles that you sent me, those were some of the things that were being said. So I thought I would be remiss not to mention that's part of what you all believe in.
Okay.
Now, one thing we do know that is that you all are picketing Bishop Eddie Long's church every first Sunday in Lithonia, Georgia.
Right. We'll be there in the morning. We'll be there tomorrow morning.
So some would say, does that line up with Scripture? You know, aren't you supposed to go to your brother if he has been in fault and privately?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We have gone to our brother in writing.
Mm.
Yes, we have asked him to acknowledge his sins and crimes against humanity and repent and seek forgiveness.
Did he respond?
He refuses. Now, he refuses to.
Okay.
Let me go back into what the gentleman was saying in dealing with that question.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament itself. Now, and I'm gonna say it like this, but I know we won't have time to go. The New Testament itself, in many ways, is a bogus document in terms of the life and ministry of Jesus.
Mm.
Jesus was not a Christian. Jesus never been to a church. There was no such thing as a New Testament when Jesus was in the world. He never read a New Testament. He was a Jew.
Mm.
All right, and he was a Jew that practiced a religion that was antithetical to Pauline theology.
Mm.
The church was organized around Gentiles, and Jesus said real clearly to his disciples, "It's not the way of the Gentiles, but rather the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And Paul, who could the Jesus disciple despised Paul, and so Paul couldn't make any inroads into the Jewish community, and he went to the Gentile. And now we don't go into the history of the Gentile, but the Roman Emperor Constantine organized what we misunderstand to be the Christian Church. It was organized by Jesus. And see, I can almost guarantee you that the average black person you ask, well, who founded the Christian church? It was the Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't found any Christian church. And I'll tell you something else. The man said that he was he really worshipped God in spirit and in truth. I agree with that too. But you know that the Christian faith, they don't say it loud. The Christian faith says that Jesus is God.
Jesus is
because
God.
People accept the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Uh-huh.
They God. Okay, so when I say that the New Testament is bogus, I mean, I'm also in agreement with Thomas Jefferson. He said Paul was the first corrupter of the ministry and teaching of Jesus. And I discovered it when I first did my forays into investigation. I mean, it has nothing to do with what Jesus was talking about and doing. And now that statement that all we are born in sin and bred in iniquity. I say when after Adam and Eve did what they did, God meted out their punishment. You will have children bear pain. You will work by the sweat of your brow. Snake, you will be squirted by the heel of a man. Now he was through with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now when did he say, and now because of what you did, all men coming into the world are going to be sinners. God never said that. And Moses was not subjected. He didn't know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
David and Solomon didn't know Jesus either. So are they not saved?
Give him a chance to address that, and let's move on.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Du, how would you address that?
Well, he sounds like really a Church of Christ person. He sounds like he's into fighting, and I don't take time with that stuff.
Okay.
I'm not into fighting. I'm not into debating. If that's what he believes, that's fine. I have no problem with it because I believe what it says in Deuteronomy, the Old Testament. I don't even know if he believes that. Deuteronomy 30:19 gives you a choice. And if he believes all that stuff he's saying, that's fine.
Okay.
Because let's go back to the next question that you went to. He wanted to go back to, because that's a fighter. Got to keep going back fighting. I'm not into that.
Okay.
Your next question was about Eddie Long.
Yes.
And about what they're doing. And the word says in Matthew 18, so if he says the New Testament's a bogus book, obviously he doesn't believe Matthew 18, where it tells you to first go to your brother. He said he wrote a letter. Well, the Bible says go to him. Why didn't he, if he has the ability to go and picket the man's church, why doesn't he make an intelligent appointment with him and go and sit down and talk to him? And as intelligently, without emotion, without just, hey, here's what we believe. Now, if Eddie Long will receive it, I understand that. But the word says you go to your brother. So you go physically, take someone with you, and then if he will not hear you, then it gives you a process. I'm not sure if he even believes that, but that's Matthew 18. And then if he still doesn't hear the church, then he's put out and you go to the law, which is what the young men did when they basically tried to get everything resolved. They couldn't resolve it in the church. And, yes, incidentally, since he did go back, let me say this. Paul did say – Paul was not liked, and Paul was actually one of my favorite people, and Elijah as well. But Paul did say, you know, we shouldn't have this kind of stuff going on. But since Eddie Long did what he did, the young men did what they did, we have the right, just as well as this other doctor you're talking to, has the right to talk about it publicly and to discuss it, because it has an impact on whether you are a Christian, whether you are a follower of Christ, whether you are a churchgoer, whatever, or a believer in something. To see a leader behave like this man has behaved, that's the real issue. And that behavior has brought corruption, I believe, and brought has been detrimental to so many. I haven't been there to that church, but I've again read and been told where so many have left the church, and many other churches have been created as a result of the whole Eddie Long fiasco.
Wow!
So, you know, it's devastating. But Matthew does give us the way to go about it. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are really not the New Testament. They really are still part of the Old Testament, incidentally. And when the church is Acts, starts in the book of Acts and goes forward. So on the one hand, the gentleman is saying that Jesus wasn't a Christian. He agrees with that. So, yeah, we agree on that. But there's so much there. You know, and to go see what I look at, if we want to get into a real discussion about Jesus and about God and all that, I look at the power. Who has the power to heal? Who has the power to deliver? Who has the power to transform? Who is being healed of AIDS? Who's being healed of high blood pressure? Who is coming out of being a homosexual? Or who's remaining a homosexual, but they're saved, and they're able to sustain themselves and not they're living celibate.
Listen, as a person, let me respond. As a personal matter, this slave religion does not apply.
Mm-hmm.
The black world, I want you to listen to this. the black world was put into slavery at the behest of the Catholic Church. It was authorized by religion. Now, and then they gave us a form of religion that accepted it. Now, Paul said, we are people, we were brought into oppression under a religious system, the black world, and we remain under it. And so, I mean, now if we want to talk about the technicalities of theology, you know, theology is no more than the conjecture or the version of somebody's view or thought. The King James Version of the Bible got so many misinterpretations, so many transliterations, and so many insertions and deletions that we won't have time to go into that.
I noticed that you do not follow the King James Version because of some of the things, I guess, I read that you said about King James. You called him a pervert and some other things. So you obviously do not follow the King James Version, correct? I'm looking for my notes on that.
And listen to this. The church that we grew out of, the black community grew out of, was a virtual brothel.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows.
So what version of the Bible do you follow?
What version of the Bible?
Yes.
I don't follow a version of the Bible.
Oh, okay, well, I'm saying you don't follow the King James Version.
No.
So,
he doesn't
so
follow
like,
any
I'm,
verse.
I'm just trying
just
to understand,
said.
What are you following?
He doesn't follow the Bible. He doesn't believe the Bible.
Let me say, have you heard of anything that speaks of the truth? The gentleman says he worships God in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
The slave religion that was perpetrated on black people is a fraud and a lie.
Mm.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you can't pick and choose scriptures out of the Bible and then say I don't follow the Bible, though, can you? You know, you can't do that. I mean, you can't say the Old and the New Testament.
God's situation did not change.
Okay.
Do you know how we got the Bible? Do you know where it came from?
You gonna say a slave master wrote it?
I'm just saying, it came from somewhere. It didn't drop out of the sky.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, it didn't drop out of the sky.
Okay.
But again, I'm saying I don't want to get into the in depth theology or history.
I'm trying to do
because that would take us into an academic discussion.
And I'm not trying to do that either. What I'm trying to do though is establish, because you're probably going to say some things if you're not following the Bible. You're going to say some things that will confuse people.
Okay. All right. Well, let me try.
If I am calling you a pastor of a church, then people need to understand what doctrine is he following. Because he's not lining
right
up with what they may know as scripture. You see what I'm saying? So
that,
I'm just trying to get
that is the question. What doctrine is he following?
Okay. What doctrine are you following?
He who has lined up a doctrine already has you in a mental trap, because you have to operate and function through that doctrine. I know function through the doctrine. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Not a doctrine, not a church, not a preacher. That's what he said. Also.
Okay.
If you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, let me say this. If you can say that Bishop Eddie Long laying claim to being a man of God,
mm-hmm,
and is found to be what he has been for God knows how long,
mm-hmm,
and you can't get men and women of God to stand up and condemn that as ungodly, sinful, and an abomination against humanity, and we have written letters to religious leaders all over this nation saying, why don't we have a moral voice that says this is not good? But you know why we don't have that? You know why? Because our religion is a protective cover for this society. Yeah, because see, there is no way you could believe that all the people under any law have been saved and on their way to heaven. So what are you going to do about that?
Okay. And I can accept that. One thing that you all said, your group is saying, is that you all want him to publicly step down. I mean, publicly confess.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Let me finish. And so basically you say you want him to confess based on John 8:32. Well, John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, based on that, I don't see any reason why he would publicly stand up and confess. I know there are some scriptures that does maybe back up that, but that's not the scripture that I would think would make him do it, if you were just to say.
I said our the salvation, Jesus said, you should know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Okay.
And I was responding to not doctrine. And you would
okay,
ask me,
gotcha.
Doctrine,
okay,
I don't come under doctrine.
Okay, I understand. Okay, let me get to some of your other people then. I'm not sure who I have on the phone lines because y'all didn't give me the phone numbers. So let me go in area code 901-277. Good evening, you're on Center Stage.
Yes.
I'm calling out your area code in the first three digits of your phone number. Area code 901-277. Good
yes,
evening,
well,
you're on.
Well, that's not my number, but I'm Terry Shane.
Would
here.
That be 992?
901-277. 9692. Yes.
I think it's Mr. Green.
Hey. Good evening, Mr. Green. How you doing? Okay. Obviously.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Green. How you doing?
Fine. How you
doing? Good. What would you like to say tonight? You all are boycotting Bishop Eddie Long's church. I understand there are some other churches in Memphis that you all have problems with. I know Frankie Ray's church, I think that's New Salem, if I'm not mistaken, has had some issues lately, and I think Pastor Wayland's church has had some issues. Are y'all boycotting everybody who has, like, some issues that, you know, are being made public, or who are y'all picking and choosing to boycott?
We are choosing the one that we feel that have failed morally, and we have, you know, the Bible tells us that you shall know the truth and it shall set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these churches and people are based on lies now. And we've been out there fighting. You know, the church has never really practiced what it preached. It preached one thing and practiced something else. So we got to get them to try to preach what they say and practice what they say. Now,
well, Mr. Green, I would say this, and just playing devil's advocate here, I'm a pretty good girl for the most part, but I think if someone took my life and opened it up completely, they probably find something that they didn't approve of. So I think that stands true for all of us. So is it fair to pick on one person for their sins? Because we all have sinned and come short, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
So I guess, you know how when the woman was at the well and Jesus said he without sin cast the first stone? It's kind of like that. So do you all ever think when you all are doing these boycotts that everybody has some sin?
Could I interject something there?
Sure, I'm just playing devil's advocate because I know other
sure,
people will be thinking the same thing.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah, you see, when you reduce that, all right, everybody talks about, okay, when something happens, and particularly in religion.
Okay.
We don't go down now when a young man gets caught with a $5 rock in his pocket, and I'm saying that's because I work in this area, and the judge puts him under $1 million bond
mm-hmm.
and may put him in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody goes down there and say, well, now, everybody sins. You shouldn't do that to him. No, they just throw him in jail and throw the key away. So what? So when a man of God shows himself the very epitome of the devil, I mean, by what reason should we say, well, hey, you know, everybody does something. If everybody does something, and nothing wrong with everybody doing anything, well, then what is something?
Well, the thing is, the preachers are no different than the people that sit in the pews for the most part. They just have a different calling on their lives.
Oh, I agree with you there, but the minister is called by God, and he's held to a higher standard than the person in the pew. And if he felt he couldn't stand up to that standard, he should not have accepted the call by God. I agree with that. If I'm going to say, well, I'm human, so I'm going to do some of everything that's being done in the world, I don't need to be answering the call of God. I need to tell God, no, that's a job I can't handle.
Okay, okay. I can follow that. I'm not sure whose phone line I have open. Dr. Drew, are you 901-870 or 901-3305?
I'm 901-870-526.
Okay. So 901-305. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Okay. I'm Terry. Terry Saint here.
Okay. Yes. Good evening, Mr. Saint. How are you?
How are you?
You know, you all have an interesting concept about, you know, what you do, but every, you know, the thing is, like Dr. Drew said earlier, why did you all insist on getting a meeting with Bishop Long? Did you all actually ever call the church and say, may we speak to Bishop Long?
As Dr. Richmond said, we did contact the church.
Okay, you did contact. Okay, got you.
Yeah,
okay, and you got nowhere with that?
That's right.
Okay. I know that recently you all were down in Atlanta and someone actually jumped the curve and seemed to aggressively be coming toward one of you all. Do you think the warning?
Yeah. Yes. Matter of fact, this is scary. Matter of fact, I was one that the car had precisely aimed to run over and I popped the curve, get out of the way. Now, there was another young lady there that almost fell down, falling on that car, trying to get away from the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Now, do you think that was just...
Go on.
Do you think that was just an accident, or do you think that person was, you thought, really coming toward you all to try to do your harm?
I personally think that was somebody a little delirious and somebody that a little bit confused, and I think they meant harm. I think they definitely meant harm. But
and you think they did it because of what you all were doing down there boycotting Bishop Long's church?
I would assume that would be the motive.
Wow. Okay. So what would you like to tell us about what you all are doing? Do you feel convicted to do this by God, or is this just a group of people who feel like they're going to...
Who will stand up for me? And, you know, and I want to be one to stand up for righteousness.
Okay. Okay.
And leadership. I mean, the tragic of the matter is that this man is in a position of leadership.
Did you all pray about it before you did it, though? Or decided to do it?
Well, I just want to say, when the leadership is corrupt,
mm-hmm.
I mean, everything is corrupt.
Is corrupt. Maybe that's why the occupiers are occupying Wall Street. I don't know. But, you pick a topic and you can find some corruption in it. So, but when you're, you know, a lot of times, and I've heard the scripture a million times and I've done several shows on this topic, you know, a lot of times people say, touch not my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Did that come into consideration at all when you all decided to do what you're doing?
Ma'am, I want to say
that says false prophet would be among us.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
A false prophet.
Okay. You know, like Bardee.
So you all believe Bishop Eddie Long is a false prophet?
He's a false prophet.
Oh, yes, we know it. We cry loud and stand on.
Okay. Okay, let me pick up another. And did you want to say anything else before I try to pick up another call? I'm sorry. Did you want to say anything else?
Well, it's time for judgment to come upon the church, I feel, and somebody has to execute that mission.
Okay. But again, right. Are you all called by God to do it at all, or are you all going out? Because, see, this is what I think, and this is just me.
Okay.
I feel like if God calls me to do something, I'm covered, and no harm can come to me. But I think if I go outside of God calling me to do something and I take it upon myself to go in and correct somebody else's wrong or try to correct somebody else's wrong, then it's a possibility I could come upon danger out there. Do you all ever look at it like that?
Jesus was crucified. Was
yes,
he covered
he was.
By God?
Yes, he was. I'm sorry, Jesus was crucified in what?
Was he covered by God?
No. When Jesus came here, he had a mission. So his crucifixion was part of the mission, wasn't it?
Okay, there we're going into the theology.
Yes, we are.
Okay, there we're going into the theology. There is nowhere in what we call the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
there is nowhere that God said all men, as a result of what you have done, Adam, are born sinners and will be and will stand in need of salvation. That was never said by God. All right. Two or three thousand years later. You understand now? This is not two or three thousand, I'm sorry.
8,000 years later, you got what you call a New Testament document slapped up against the laws and the prophets. And a theology that says that for one man's sin, all men are sin, and so for one man's blood, all men are cleansed. Now, I know you have difficulty extrapolating that, but you see, there is no biblical foundation for that.
There's no biblical foundation. Okay. I don't have to accept that just because I got to move on and pick up some other phone calls, but we will definitely come back to that before the end of the show. I'm going to try to go to area code 931-249. Good evening. You're on center stage.
And I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
And I'm going to practice a little bit of the devil's advocate
also. Come closer to the phone because we can't hear
all
you.
All right. I'm going to the window. I think when I go to the window, it's better.
Okay.
We have talked about singing, but when it comes to Bishop Eddie Long, and not only Bishop Eddie Long, we ought to be talking about crying. Now, I was in education for years, and if I suspected I didn't have to know one thing and I didn't have to pray before I did it, if I suspected any person, any young child that had been abused in any way, the law forces me, could imprison me if I do not speak out against it or report it. Now, Bishop Eddie Long has a history. He didn't start with these young boys. He started with his first wife, if you knew the history of Bishop Eddie Long. Also, the leader of his church, the bishop asked him to step down, and he wouldn't step down. So, yes, we prayed, we studied the law, and we got busy. As of this past week, he closed the schools K through 12.
Longfellow
the children there had no schools to go to. The parents had to pay the money up front. Where is the money? He didn't give it back and didn't tell the young people. So while we prayed, and we did pray, and we're going to pray that we find some more like him, like we should have played with Jim Jones and some of the rest of them that we said, you know, let's overlook them, because when we overlook, we underestimate. So
well,
I just want to say, you know, let's talk about sin, but let's talk also, Bishop Long is a pedophile, and his name needs to be on the same list as the other pedophiles.
We're probably on the same side of this argument, but I'm playing devil's advocate because I don't have anybody else to do that tonight. But let me ask you this. When you all are leaving Memphis, and I don't know how many miles Memphis is from Atlanta, but I know it's quite a few. When you all are leaving Memphis and driving all the way to Atlanta every first... No, let me finish. How many bad churches are there in Memphis that you all are not addressing? Why Eddie Long? Is it...
Well, I'm glad to you, when you let me, while the debate on this organization is in Memphis, we're not living in Memphis. We are all from this nation. As a matter of fact, I came 400 miles today.
You're
the Kentucky
Center's line.
So,
okay,
yes,
wait, your phone, we're not hearing. Maybe we'll get closer to the window.
We're doing the same thing in all parts of the country when the people will not stand up for the country.
Okay, so you all are not all from Memphis. You're from different parts of the state.
That's exactly right.
Okay. I was just wondering why leave Tennessee and go all the way to Atlanta when I'm sure, you know, y'all had a church in Memphis where there was a fight right after communion just a couple of Sundays ago.
And that was a protest.
There was a protest
there.
Was a protest, so you all did protest there?
Yes, ma'am. This is nothing new. This is a long time. I've been in the group just 30 years, and there were people doing this before I got in it.
Okay, that was, and for anybody that's not familiar with that situation, there's a church there pastored by Pastor Frankie Ray, and the other Sunday they had communion service, and after the communion service, the wife of Pastor Frankie Ray and some other people got into an altercation right at the church. So that's what I'm referring to. Okay, I'm going to try to pick up another phone call. We're going to go to area code 310-598. Good evening, you're on center stage.
Yes, how's it going? This is Lance. I've been listening to the phone call and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm the one in the room called Brother Teacher. You know, I'm listening to everything. I call this apostasy,
okay.
You know, what I'm listening to right now. when people don't believe in, you know, they got these new religions coming out, universalism and whatnot, and they reject 2 Timothy 3:16, which all scripture, amen of God, is given, you know, and stuff like that for reproof, for doctrine. And what they do is they reject it so they can do what they do. Other religions started this too, and I just want to say this to the point where they say the white man did this, white man did that. America is only 200-something years old, but the faith is older than that. So, you know, when they want to date everything, they say because of the Bible, whatever, because of what happened in America, Farrakhan and all of them did that, you know, because of how racism affected the black people when they were here. And then they had to repent of that and say, well, this is not what the Muslim faith is all about. It's just because of the black experience in America, what we experienced. And they set a whole religion around that, and they had to basically recant all of their stuff in their whole faith that they did. And a lot of people in that Muslim faith were disillusioned after he had to come out and tell the truth that, you know, that the white people weren't devils and this and that and whatever. And he went on Mecca and made that trip. So these people are speaking tonight. Again, that's only one of the, you know, like a lot of the Jewish people that said Jesus ain't coming, they only want to accept part of the Bible, but not the other part. I'm gonna say that, you know, again, this is part of apostasy and stuff like that, you know, and I'm just gonna call it for what it is, you know. And if they preaching any other gospel, you know, whatever, let them be accursed. I'm just saying, you know. So everything that you basing your stuff on, it's not scripturally based or whatever. So as a practicing Christian, I'm just going by what the whole Bible say, and I cannot only receive half the Bible and reject the rest of it.
Okay. Dr. Isaac Richmond, you want to address that?
If Bishop Eddie Long...
Let her finish.
Okay. If Bishop Eddie Long has been a principal of a high school, or if he has been any other position other than a senator, and he had sex with LaFleur, and that's in the coaches. No, we want to say he was in the coaches. Would there be a problem? Or if we forgive him because he can drive a $350,000 car? Thank you.
Were you addressing that to the caller?
Okay.
Hello? Yes, were you addressing that to the caller?
I'm addressing anybody who wants to say if you would let a principal or a coach have sex with the Lord, and we say go to him first before we call the police or before we speak out again.
Okay, y'all going to have to get closer to the phone because there's like an echo back.
I just want to say one more thing, if you guys can still hear me.
Okay, we can still hear you.
You know, I think I heard him say something about Church of God in Christ being a principal or something like that.
Yes, Dr. Isaac Richmond was.
A lot of church hurt folk, you know, when they go through church hurt, they get on rampages like this, and they start saying these whole faiths, and they start attacking denominations. But denominations keep people in check, you know. In other words, you don't have these... You don't have these rogue pastors around and don't have to be accountable. But when they're a denomination, they got to be accountable to somebody. They got to have a covering, and a presiding bishop or someone keeps them in check when they go rogue like this. So, you know, you got a lot of church hurt, and when people got church hurt, you're going to hear ramblings like this, and they attack the denominations, and they attack the church because they're coming out of a denomination. So this is a lot of church hurt, stuff like that, and apostasy going on, in my opinion.
Would you agree with that, Dr. Richmond?
Yes, this is Dr. Richmond talking.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I went to black institutions. My grandparents, my parents, and I grew up in Methodist Church, the CME Church. I pastored churches in South Carolina.
In the first part of the Bible, right? Because you don't believe in the whole Bible.
Now, no, let me finish. No.
I wonder what kind of church that was.
Let me finish, Brother Peter.
You want me to talk?
Go ahead, finish, Dr. Richards.
No, we're not about to be talking about establishing a church in the name of something, and we're not after any denomination. No, I'm sorry. Be clear. That's not what this movement is about. All right, that's not what this movie is about. And some of the people you mentioned, you are going to class us with the Nation of Islam or the Muslims. See, that's put down.
the put down of the Christian religion against the Nation of Islam or anything that spells Islam, not knowing that black people came from Africa, that religion was Islam. And you come over here and we got a slave religion that you justified. We got a slave religion that they segregated us by, they sanctioned the lynch law by. Man, how can you even classify what we have as a religion coming from God?
Okay, well, let me ask you this then, because I really want to be clear for anybody who may not understand. First of all, if you just tuned in, you've come Center Stage tonight for the topic, does the church need to be saved?
Yes.
And we're talking to a group out of Memphis called CHRIST, which is an acronym for Christians Holding Religious Institutions to a Sacred Trust. Dr. Isaac Richmond, who is their founder. Also, tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at AfricanAmericanNewsAndCommentary.com. Dr. Richmond, let me be clear.
Okay.
If I'm understanding you, and I don't know that I am, if I don't live right based on the Kojic belief, do I go to hell, or is there no hell? What is your belief on that?
Well, I regret to tell you, I don't know any place in the Bible where God created a hell where you are going to roast alive for a trillion years.
So that's
now,
nowhere in the Bible.
I have read that. I have seen it. I know the definition of Sheol, and I know the definition of Hades in Greek and in Hebrew. It has nothing to do with that Dante created purgatory and hell that the Roman Church used to frighten people into giving money to build St. Peter's Cathedral. And now we got it scanned for to pay 10%, because if you don't pay your tithe to God, you're going to hell.
So if you live the life of an internal revenue fraud. Well, let me ask you this. Am I understanding you to say, if I live according to the Kojic doctrine and my neighbor lives like a rank sinner, neither of us have to worry about hell?
No, I'm saying this. I'm saying the Chinese have lived the longest lasting civilization in the world. They don't know Jesus, ain't looking for him. And no, I don't think they're going to go to hell and roll forever.
Wow. Okay.
Now, your doctrine might give you anything. That's why I'm saying.
Wow. That is really a new one on me. I think I'm going to have to pick up another phone call after that. Brother CJ, you got anything to say on that before we move on? I mean, he says there is no hell.
Good evening, sister and brother.
Yes.
My name is Maxine Thomas.
Hi, Ms. Thomas.
How are you doing? How are you all doing?
I'm good. Welcome to the stage.
Listen, the Bible teaches in Hosea 4, 1, and 2.
Mm-hmm.
That the Lord had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there was no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land.
Mm-hmm.
He said that my people, and in verse 6, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, since we got all this knowledge on the telephone,
mm-hmm.
why can't we, as sisters and brothers, have a world conference and get together and help our people?
But it don't sound like we're on the same page. How are we going to help each other if we're not on the same page?
That is the reason why we need to get
tell you
where
I'm confused at.
Get on the same page.
But let me tell you where I'm confused at. You're quoting scripture from the Bible, but yet you don't believe in the Bible. If I'm understanding what y'all are saying. So why do y'all quote the Bible if you don't believe it?
There are certain things called the universal truths. They don't have to be written in a book called Bible. In fact, if you know anything about your Bible, it was in the philosophical and sociological treaties of the early civilization of Egypt. It's found in the tombs of the Pharaoh, the Book of the Dead. okay, and all that. So, and everything that Jesus said, Ten Commandments and all, was already being practiced thousands of years before the coming of Jesus. And, of course, he got his education in Egypt. So, it ain't Bible. No, I don't believe in no Bible. It ain't Bible. It's something to believe in. Do you know when that book got that name, Bible? Let me get that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. That wasn't called Bible.
Okay,
Jews call that the law and the prophets.
You could just be quoting from John Doe, the plumber's book. I mean, so you're just saying basically right is right, and so it could have been anybody's book you're quoting from. It doesn't. It's not. It's,
I mean,
the fact that it's the Bible means nothing to you.
They said that because Ham. It is a central theme of the social oppression of black people justified by religion. This is because Ham saw his drunken daddy and he woke up angry because he was drunk and said God condemned black folk to be hewers of wood and drawers of water forever for white folk. And let me tell you something. We can try to get away from the fact that that we ain't slaves, focused slaves in America. But we are an oppressed group in America. It's two worlds. It's the difference in black and white right now. If you don't mean, you go to the courthouses and the education systems, you got two of them. That's right. One for white and one for black. They call us in this thing. Oh, now racism ain't got nothing to do with it. No, we ain't. White supremacy got something to do with it. That means we are better than you all. You don't deserve that. That's why the noise is going around Barack Obama, the most brilliant man we had in the White House since there was a White House. And a man who has articulated a transformational vision for the whole world. And
you got an echo for some reason.
Talk back in like he's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why? It ain't got nothing to do with no philosophy of socialism. And
but
it sure ain't got nothing to do with no prison doctrine.
What you say? You're a racist, Dr. Richmond?
No.
Not
really. Don't worry about it. But when it comes to religion, let me ask you something, and I'll say this, and I say this in all honesty. Do you really have any knowledge of what Jesus was doing when he was here?
Do I have any knowledge of what Jesus?
He despised the scribes, the Pharisees, the chiefs, and elders. Those were the religious denominations of his day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that they were the worst thing that ever hit the face of the earth. What did he say? And who did they call to be killed when they're all bad? Who do you take? The robbers. So we have now.
Oh, hello.
Who would defend it on what basis?
Can I say something? Hello,
yeah,
this is Dr. Dew.
Okay.
Now, this is really a lot of foolishness. And the brother teacher, you're absolutely right. These people are apostate, and that's their choice. If they want to be apostate, be it. But now, if you're going to come on this Dear Ladies program and talk about your boycotting Eddie Long, let's just stick to one thing and at least get something accomplished.
We're not talking boycotting.
And let me finish. You be quiet now. Now, if you're going to come on and talk about Eddie Long, let's talk about that. And you go ahead and say what you have to say. But don't keep going back and forth. You're going from this to that, back and forth. You're all over the place. You're making no sense. You're full of the devil. Just as Paul said, he gave those folks over to Satan. That's where you are. You're full of the devil. And you need deliverance. You need to be set free. And not by me. And if you don't believe in Jesus, that's your choice. But you need to get yourself in order and come out of the foolishness, because it's just making no sense. You're just jumping from here to there, back and forth. You quote scripture for one moment, then you go back over here. You go over there. You go over, you know. This is just a lot of nonsense. And if you want to talk about the Eddie Long thing, I will agree with you. There is something has to be done, and if God will use you guys to go and do this, that's you know, you and God's choice. but I will agree that in the church, and the church is the people, it's not the buildings, but in the body of Christ or the followers of Christ or people that are believers, there is a lot of sexual immorality, and it's not right. And people need to deal with that. When you have made an error or sin, you need to step up to the plate and say, I made an error, I'm sorry, I apologize, and get things straight.
All right, well, brother, yes. May I ask you one question? You know what? I've talked with people, and they've asked, well, why are you all marching? And then I ask the question. I say, sister, I say, if that was your son who you love dearly, if that was your grandson that you love dearly, if that was your brother that you love dearly, what would you do? Oh, honey, I would be in jail. I would kill him. I'd kill him on sight.
And, you know, and I don't think anybody's disputing the fact that y'all
but
maybe
see,
are doing a good thing
hate.
By being down there. My only problem
yeah,
with that
God
is...
Yeah, but God is not about hate, sister. You guys are coming from a place of hate and venom and all of that stuff of the devil. And that's not what it's about. It's about bringing correction. And the legal system is set in. Okay, that's already kicked in for part of it. But what you're, I believe, trying to do, you're trying to stir up stuff and trying to show just the different leaders that are sexually immoral. You know, you're just kind of putting it out there. You can't go off and kill folks. You know, that's the Old Testament. It said you can't suffer. A witch shouldn't suffer to live. You shouldn't. All those killing that was in the Old Testament under the law, as you call it, or the what have you. Today, we have laws,
system. They killed him because he was they killed Dr. King because he was stirring up the people.
Okay, let's pick up another phone call. Let's call the area code 901-721. Good evening, you're on center stage. 901-721. Good evening, you're on center stage.
Yes, good evening.
Hi.
Yes, my name is Sarah Clark, and I would like to say this. In reference to why Eddie Long's situation was chosen, and I'd like to say this much, just as same as when Rosa Parks decided to sit as opposed to standing up on the back of the bus. You know, others had done that too, but it wasn't until Rosa Parks did it. Then God had chosen her to expose what was happening.
So Ms. Clark,
think
you
God
feel God
using this group
to do
this. I mean,
you all feel that God has chosen you all to do this.
Yes.
Okay.
God chose everybody to do it, but we're the only one doing it.
So
I think God wants all of us to do it.
I think He has temporarily stepped down. That's not good enough for you all. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
Repeat, yeah, that's
repeat.
Right.
Okay, I understand. So what else would you like to add, Ms. Park?
That is simply it, that he was chosen. His situation was chosen because there are many that's guilty of the same thing.
Okay, and I agree. Okay, thank you for calling in. I'm going to leave your phone line open. We're going to try to pick up 972-807. Good evening, you're on center stage.
Hey, this is Pastor Donald Lee calling from Dallas. Well, first of all, I like what the brother said earlier about sticking to the issue. The thing with that is I believe that it's kind of difficult to say that God has sent us to do a certain work, but then you have within your own group, you got guys, or at least one man in your own group says he doesn't believe in the Bible. So if you do not believe in the Bible, then but yet you do believe that God sent you to do the clarion call down in Atlanta, then my question would be, what God told you that? You know what I mean? Who told you? What God? Are you talking about God of, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You talking about what God are you talking about?
Dr. Richardson.
Yes.
He says, what God are you talking about?
God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This God that was changed. Jehovah or Yahweh the God of Abraham, they changed it that Jesus is now supposed to be God. He is the Holy Spirit.
Come closer to the phone, please, Dr. Richmond, so we can all hear you. Not as well as we should be able to hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. If you would just come as close as you possibly could.
Okay. Well, listen a minute, because see, I do want to be fair to the audience and those who are calling. You're not talking to people who got some gripe. We're talking about people who are concerned about the condition of our people and how we have suffered under the illusion that we have been, if we walk up and say we believe in Jesus and go get baptized in the name of Jesus, that is our slave. And I've been saying, no. That's a weapon of mass mental destruction. Now, let me just tell you about the God. So, in 325 AD, the Roman Empire called a conqueror.
Can you please come close to Dr. Richmond? If you could just can you speak directly into the phone?
I want you to listen to this.
Freaking out.
Speak directly into the phone.
It sounds like rambling.
Yes. We can't. The audience is saying they cannot hear you clearly, Dr. Richmond. Is there a problem with you coming directly to the phone?
Well, I'm speaking directly to this one.
Okay, now we hear you.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Good.
We can hear him now.
Okay. All right. Let me go over it again, and then in 325 A.D., that's 300 years after Jesus is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman emperor, not Jesus. Mm-hmm. He called a conference. And forced the vote. Roman Emperor Constantine called a conference and forced the vote, twisted arms and threatened people in what is called a religious council that they had better vote for the deification of Jesus, that is, to make him a God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go and tell me, you go find me somebody that says, well, you know, that man is talking about it long. They don't know what they're talking about. You go find them and tell them. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Like I said, okay, so there ain't no such thing as Jesus is God.
You said ain't no such thing as Jesus is God.
You're talking about hanging on, then you jump into Jesus God.
Is that what you said?
Brother confused.
Okay, so.
Right. The group is confused.
I want to stick with the mere fact of why we are demonstrating against Eddie Long.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, that's probably a good idea. Okay, let's pick up one more phone call. Let's pick up 314-381. Good evening, you're on center stage.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
If there was any strong black men in the community, Eddie Long would have been dealt with appropriately.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Messing with children. He should have, if he was in Iran, he would have been... He would have had been introduced to a hemp necktie at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And not only him, anybody else, this Sadusky up in Penn State and so on and so on and so on. So, yes, they should ask for him. I don't understand black folks nowadays. I really don't. It's just ridiculous. It's worse than ridiculous. It's sad. It's just sad. You let somebody like that stay amongst you, and it goes to show you that your purpose for there is nothing but pure entertainment. There's no substance in it whatsoever. So that's basically all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you for calling in. Pastor Lee, as a pastor, do you feel that someone could come to your church and hold a boycott and demand that you step down?
I think it would be inappropriate. Because I think it would be inappropriate, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we have churches have, the accountability factor. We have other pastors that we may be under or other churches that we may be under. And if I'm out of order, then my father in the faith or my spiritual mentor would come and have a discussion and talk with me. And if I'm out of order, then I would, you know, I could be set down. But to have somebody coming from clearly across the country or something, and there's some group coming to petition and boycott, I think that's out of order because first of all, I don't think I heard anybody. Unless I missed the news, I didn't hear anything about Bishop Eddie Long being found guilty of anything. Now, I'm not defending him, but you know, we're talking as if the man was found guilty, and you know, and he's still in the pulpit, even though the courts found him guilty. So I think that there should be an accountability thing going on over there, and I don't think that just people just coming trying to make a name for themselves does Christianity any good if they're half trying to profess that they are Christians. You know, so, yeah, if a pastor is out of order, yes, there should be an accountability system set up to where that pastor would be dealt with. One thing I also want to add with that also is if God has called me to do anything, okay, one, I got to believe in the full counsel of God. I got to believe in the Old Testament, New Testament. I got to believe in the Bible if I'm saying that God sent me to go and correct anybody. Okay, and if I do that, I have to make sure that, first of all, I have to pull that person off to the side, or that pastor, or whoever it is, off to the side, and meet with that pastor and talk with him. You know, but just to go fly off the handle and say he did this and he need to be killed or he need this and that, I mean, that's out of order. Even the Bible talks about how if somebody is overtaken in a fault, you got to pray for them, or you got to pull them off to the side and talk to them. If after about two or three admonishments and they have not gotten that straight, they have not fixed that, then you bring it before the church. You bring them before the church. But just to kind of fly off the handle, that's out of order.
Now, I have one other point to make, if I could.
Go ahead.
The people that's protesting, what you could do is challenge their 503 tax status to the IRS. The IRS, well, the U.S. Treasury owns that church. That congregation, those deacons, and so on, do not own that building that they built. And the only reason why I come, well, it's through that tax status that most of them exist anyway. So go in there and ask to see all their financials. They have to show them to you. I don't care if you can live in Mexico, California, you can go to any church in this country that has a 503 tax status and demand to see their financial. And if something's going on inappropriate with it, then you challenge it and demand that the IRS don't issue them a renewal.
Dr. Yes, Richmond,
I'm
have
right
you
here.
All attempted that?
No, listen, let me say something. I regret that the whole movement is being misunderstood. I'm on. Let me try to be clear.
Okay, let's be clear on what you all doing. You tell us
what
you all
doing. We're not concerned about like boycott the church. As in, we don't want y'all to go to this church because it's named New Birth Air Baptist Church. That's what this is about. We're trying to find the church is supposed to be the moral authority in the black community. And now we find our community embracing the worst kind of immorality and crimes, and people justifying it. And let me say, somebody said they're trying to make a name for themselves. Let me see, you know, you have no idea. Number one, I'll just say this: you have no idea who you're talking to. When you talk to this group of people. We're not trying to make no name. You missed that mark by a thousand miles. It's not about a name here.
Big Dr. Richmond.
It's about demanding accountability.
Okay.
We're saying, where is the moral authority? It alone is not a moral authority, and I'll tell you something else. And most of the rest of these preachers that go under the name of being called by God, is that a moral authority? What minister has raised his voice against these kinds of practices throughout the black church? Now, one, what they're talking about is little boys
telling the truth. Wait, you're not telling the truth there.
Why don't they?
Right.
Why
you're not
they,
telling the truth.
Well,
Dr. Richmond, wrong. Well, no, but you just said what minister.
May I finish?
And that's not true. I have a book addressing that. So don't say what ministers.
All right, that means you don't know. Let me finish.
See, why don't you say some ministers have
let
not.
Me, well,
don't put
some.
All ministers, because
okay.
I have dealt with
now,
that.
Let me continue.
A whole chapter
all right,
on some, that. Okay.
Some.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Some.
Thank you.
In my town, I have heard one. That's why we're going to be over there on January the 8th. And he's not any long.
Is that in Memphis?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
Now. But I want to say this. I'm concerned about the kind of arguments that are put up when the question is the moment of truth. There is no defense for any long.
Anybody on the phone has defended him. I really don't. I think there may be some question as to the method that you all are going about asking him.
Jesus went in the temple with a whip.
Yes, he did.
And drove him
you're
out
not
the
Jesus. And you're not Jesus. So don't even bring that up.
He said we
are
greater things than he.
But I can but I'm saying only when you accuse me of using tactics or methods, if that's a problem, then would it be a problem? Oh, Jesus can do something, and you want me to follow Jesus, but I can't do what Jesus did.
But it doesn't really sound like you believe in God or Jesus or the Bible. So.
Right, exactly.
When you say God, you are operating on the assumption that what has been delivered to you as God is God.
Okay, so we may not be talking about the same God.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So you and me may not be talking about the same God.
Okay.
According to the scriptures, he is God.
He is the Son of God.
The Bible says that he was with God and that he was God. That's scripture. That's the Bible.
I know who put that together. The New Testament.
Oh, you do?
So, if you tell me that Jesus didn't become God until the Roman Emperor Constantine called the vote.
There was no such thing as Jesus God before 325 AD. They don't know history.
Yeah, you don't know history. You don't know your theology, and you don't know your church history, and you don't know the history of the Bible or how we got it.
That's exactly right.
Now we're not discussing that tonight, but we can. So we can have another meeting.
Right, but you're trying to refute the Bible, and you're trying to use it to support your argument at the same time.
The Bible. He's talking about the truth.
Both sides of his mouth. That's all he's doing, talking out of both sides of his mouth. The Catholics are not Christian, number one. And I'm
proven
so
wrong.
Pleased.
Well,
Let's deal with that. Can I say one thing?
I want to say one thing about the 501c3. We don't want to make this about an argument. Let me put
a period behind this, and then we go on to something else.
Okay.
You go and find somebody and come back on this show and say, you know that man that they call Dr. Richmond said that Jesus was made God in 325 A.D. at the Nicaea Council by running them for Constantine. And then call here and say, no, that ain't so, because I know how Jesus became God. And you go and find somebody, come back, and then tell me about the other person.
So if I called you an atheist, Dr. Richmond, would that be correct?
Oh, yeah, what?
Atheist.
Sometimes I think I'm the only man on earth that believes in God.
What?
Now I'm really confused.
Because, see, the book that you read out of and that I teach from and try to live by says, any man who says that he believes in God and he's doing destructive things to his fellow man, and is not concerned about the redemption of his fellow man, and these black preachers are not concerned about redemption, the Bible says he's a liar and a true reliable, no way in him.
Hey, if we can't be okay, now I'm really gonna.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. Tell him go get him a seat. Come on back.
Okay, we're gonna move because I don't see how You cannot believe in the Bible. You can't. You don't believe in heaven, and you can't. You don't believe in hell, but you say you may be the only man that believes in God. I would question. Are we talking about
God with
a big G or a small G?
Let me tell you why I say that. Because I do not. I'm not a man. I'm not seeking prestige. I'm not seeking political advancement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me finish, and I know you don't know anything about me, and that's okay. You probably will in time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so when I say I can go in that book that we call the Bible and find historical facts, I can find psychological facts, I can find archaeological facts. So, I mean, like, I believe in the Bible. What does belief got to do with a book that's got something written in it? It is or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so if somebody tells a lie and it's written in the Bible, that doesn't make it the truth because it's written in the Bible.
Okay. Because we're down to almost our last 30 minutes of the show, I do want to establish some other things, because you have some very interesting articles that you've written, and I'm going to try to somehow post these so the other people can see them. You don't believe in tithing. You don't believe in tithing, and you define, most preachers as like house Negro leaders, that you have in house Negro leadership. Explain that.
That's a language. Okay. Now, let me, I want to slow down and be still.
Okay.
I don't believe in tithing.
Okay.
Jesus didn't believe in tithing. Mm-hmm. Jesus never tithed. Jesus never went to one of these churches. Cool. I went to them all my life.
Oh.
But Jesus didn't go to any of them. Okay, don't exclaim like I'm saying something that's out in space.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. Now, go find somebody and tell me, no, Dr. Richmond is lying. Jesus did go to church. Tell me when. Jesus did pay tithes.
There wasn't a church back then, was it? I mean,
He went to the synagogue. He went to the synagogue. That's what he's trying to say.
Okay.
That's fine. He went to the synagogue. What point are you trying to make?
You're wasting time.
You're talking foolish.
No intelligent black man.
Talking foolish.
No intelligent black man can embrace.
Insult. It's an insult to intelligence.
I'll listen to it, and then you're going to let my thought carry. See, because then we have at least a dialogue. Now, you go on, and I'm going to tell you what no intelligent black man would do.
I agree with Mr. Richmond. He's telling the truth.
Why do you say that, Pastor?
Jesus never did exist. I mean, this ain't what y'all topic is on, and the what y'all know of actually the Old Testament wasn't the Old Testament was something that the Hebrews created. And before they were following Yahwehism, before there was a Judaism, of course, which was before Christianity and Islam. So, what he's saying is the truth.
Mm. Okay, preachers on the line, how do y'all address that?
And it's not the biggest reason.
Apostasy.
Apostasy.
Exactly.
Brother teacher, is that your
It's apostasy. That's all it is.
Right.
It's just apostasy. That's his choice.
I'm just asking because I'm just really trying to establish, when you use terms like, the preachers are house Negroes and they're pimping the people
right.
and things like that, but, but you call yourself a pastor, and you quote from the Bible, and on one hand, it seems like you're talking.
Can I talk now?
I'm sorry.
Can I talk now?
Sir. I didn't finish, but okay, yes, sir, go ahead.
May I speak now?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
When Dr. Howard Thurman, you know Dr. Howard Thurman?
Yes, sir.
You know Dr. Howard Thurman?
Yes, sir. Yes.
One of the greatest black theologians. Dr. Howard Thurman, in 1935, went to India.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I want you to hear this.
Okay.
And then I'm going to tell you what Carter G. Woodson said. And I know he's not an ignorant man. Dr. Howard, I'm going to hurry and tell He went to India and made a grand speech at a college. He was talking about the depth of the Christian faith in which he stood. Mm-hmm. When he got through, he went to a repast with the president's college, who was an Indian brother. And he addressed him like this. He said, "My brother, you're over here in my country. And I thank you for coming." He said, "But I have to tell you that after listening to you embracing the so-called Christian religion," and then he paused, he said, "where my students have been to your country, where churches have been turned out to witness lynching and to cut off pieces of black people for souvenirs," he said, "now when you talk about the genuineness of the Christian faith," he said, "you sound like a traitor to all the people of the world." And let me tell you why I call them out Negroes. Because this preacher class, not every preacher, but this class of black preachers, they are traitors to the social redemption of the black community.
Wow.
Without question.
There was an article written about him, and it says that his many years of close association with three major black denominations has left him with one main personal conclusion. The black church is more tragic than a blessing to our community. I have been with the Methodists, the Baptists, and the Holiness churches. They all run mad games, con games, on our people. We want to do something different," talking about what you're doing. Is that really how you feel the church has been?
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
But even more so, let me tell you something. I was in the Mormon Church at 11 years old.
Mm.
I was in the Mormon Church at 11 years old because my daddy required it. All right. Now, I got my religion, and they declared me saved. I sit in the choir stand with the saved group.
Mm-hmm.
I looked around in my community, and I said to myself, at 11 years old, I said, "Now, if that equals saved," because all of them had religion, I said, "if that equals saved, that's a salvation we can do without."
Oh, at 11 years old, you said that.
11 years old, I said it, and it stayed with me. I said, "How can you justify this?" And at the same time, I'm going to the back of the bus, going to the zoo on Thursday. I'm taking cotton for $2 a hundred, and I can't mention all. And black men being dragged up and down the street behind the chair's car, and the preacher in the church ain't going to say one word, and more than you have a meeting in the church today to do anything about it. Now, the preacher drove Dr. King out of the Baptist Convention.
One thing I know about the church is, you've got a cogent background like I do. One thing I was always taught is about, getting to that point. You have to be careful about getting to that point where the Bible turns you over to a reprobate mind. You think that may be the case?
No, let me tell you something. My mind is clear. Heart is straight. Listen, you know how long? Listen, I didn't get into this yesterday. When I tell you 11 years old, and I'm in my seventh decade, and let me tell you something. I know it inside out, upside down.
And I don't mean that as an insult.
I'll tell you what I'll do too. If somebody's on there trying to make a case, I don't know whether another's trying to make a case about the Bible. I'll tell you what. I'll challenge you to a 3-hour conference on whatever it is you think about the Bible. Any group of you preachers. No, we're not talking about, we ain't grinding no axe. I don't have need for any axe to grind in my life.
But right. You're talking about debating the Bible, and they don't want to debate the
right.
Bible.
I know they don't want to debate it.
Excuse me. I want to say something. Here in Matthew 20, I want to ask the brother that said that Jesus became God, Romans made him God after such a time, right? The scripture says in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20,
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. My question is, what are you doing to advance what Jesus says in that scripture there?
That's why I'm in Georgia today. That's why I'm in Georgia today.
Well, you know,
because you guys that's called preachers and clergymen in the black community, you're not advancing the black community.
No. What are you doing as it relates to this scripture? Here is the question.
I'm
as it relates to what Jesus said.
Well, if you ask me, I'm gonna tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm here to try to rid our community. You know when Mark went to the Catholic Church and tagged 95 PCs on the door and window. Well, I got about 95 wrongs going on in the black church. And when he got through, we had a Protestant movement that had broken away from the Catholic Church. And now what has happened, we have evolved into exactly the same thing. And we need a revolution in the black church. That's what we need. And that's what I'm fighting for. So I'm not trying to make no point. I ain't trying to organize no people. I don't want to organize people.
How is a revolution going to come about, though? I mean, if everything
what is your approach
about fixing it, though? How are you going to fix
it? Quickly, let me tell you about the revolution. Quickly. I'm sure that you're familiar with the history of revolution. I'll go a few. Jesus was trying to carry out a revolution from Rome. When the Roman authorities arrested Jesus, they didn't arrest him for going to church. They didn't arrest Jesus because he was... They said they had three charges on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They had a charge that we found this fella perverting the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's his arrestion.
That's right.
They say we also found him teaching the people not to pay tribute to Caesar.
Yes.
Don't pay taxes to an oppressive government. Stand on top of your people there. And then he said, and he's saying, do not call Caesar your God. Now, here we are calling a white man misnamed Jesus with blonde hair and blue eyes. We're teaching our children that's your God.
Yes.
No, they're not saving us. You can't save us.
Who said anything about Jesus about being blonde-haired and blue-eyed?
God did not come just for black people. We talk about salvation. You keep talking about black nationalism. That sounds like what you're talking about on the phone instead of church.
Don't try to put me in
the right conversation.
Are you talking about
black nationalism or are you talking about the church? Because there's two different conversations. You know, Jesus came for solidarity, all rights for all people. But then you're talking about black nationalism. So there's two different conversations.
You got a hold of somebody now that you can't run that game on me.
It's not a game. I'm just saying, solidarity is all right to all people. You know, Jesus, come with the plan of salvation.
I'm not a
and then
black
there's a conversation of black nationalism. So
okay,
are you talking about black nationalism with the guise of church? Or are you talking about, what are you talking about? You're just confused. I got questions.
What's wrong with the man wanting to be free?
Wait, Mr. Richmond, let's stop at a time, because to the audience it just sounds like static when you're talking over each other like that.
Yeah,
one
it does.
Time,
I can't hear nobody.
Okay, exactly.
Right.
The audience can't hear anybody when you're screaming at each other like that.
Okay, well, I'll hold until he gets through it, then call me in.
Okay, brother teacher, what were you saying?
Well, basically, I was just saying, it seems to me that Dr. Richmond is speaking more to black nationalism rather than anything dealing with the church. And to me, this seems like those are two separate conversations, and just because of the black experience or church hurt, that does have nothing to do with the plan of salvation, So I think those are two separate conversations that need to take place. If you're going to talk about black nationalism and what black people need to do to uplift the black culture and the black race, that's a different conversation. But when you're talking about the black church,
it should be a salvation church.
It should be solidarity, all rights for all people.
Let me,
Okay, let him respond. Dr. Richmond.
Jesus was a black nationalist.
Okay, okay.
Well, before he exposed what he really was, but you know, but see, that's why I said we had a real conversation. I'm just saying,
nah,
this is a black nationalist conversation. That's what it's all about. It's not about salvation or church.
Wait. One at a time.
Jesus,
the audience, it just sounds like static over the radio. They can't see you. It's just.
Let me finish my statement, because this is what these guys, some of them, have been used to doing. They've been in pulpits bullying people. But you can't bully me, so let me finish my statement. Okay?
Okay, go ahead and finish.
Is that all right?
Yes, sir, please.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment, too.
Okay.
Well, Jesus was fighting to liberate the black Jews of first century Palestine from the yoke of the Roman Empire. You gonna find me somebody. Do you know anything about the social history of Palestine during the days of Jesus? It ain't what you call New Testament. It's not in there. And you just so Jesus was a black nationalist, and if I were a black nationalist, I'd be proud of it.
Okay, Piaski, you were saying.
I'm just gonna say what the man said is the truth. If you look at Exodus 4:23, it said Israel is my firstborn son. Hosea 11:1, Israel is my son. Amos 3:1, only Israel.
You're talking about the state of Israel in the Middle East.
No, it wasn't the state of Israel. It wasn't
the state of Israel.
Well, Sarah, if you let me speak, then you can have the whole show.
Finish,
okay.
Dr. Richmond. He lets you finish.
Okay.
Let him finish.
All right. I'm holding.
Okay.
The God of the Old Testament, was not for everybody. He was a particular God for a particular people. It was the Romans that broadened this into what you have today.
The Romans.
It was. Even Mary. It was at the council. It was at the second council of Constantinople.
Are you serious?
Where they created the Holy Trinity by removing a woman and replacing her with a Holy Ghost. It was
what?
The council of Ephesus.
Are you serious?
Where they said that Mary was the mother of God. So Mr. Richmond is.
Let me
Mr. Richmond is about 85% correct.
He doesn't know.
Dr. Richmond, you want to address that?
Listen, I'm enjoying the dialogue, and let me just say I'm concerned, you know, about how we as a people have been so I won't say brainwashed, but we've been so socialized into accepting.
Yeah.
This secondary position.
I'm really
Now let me ask this. Can you put your finger on one thing, one philosophy, one anything? Now I'm gonna use this term. That the white world has done to advance the salvation of black people. And Carter T. Woodson said. Those of us, we black people who follow the religion of our traducers, that word he used, so I had to go look it up. He said, when black folks follow the religion of that traducer, they show no more common sense than a man would allow the criminals who committed crimes against him to organize the court by which he's going to be tried.
You know the word talks about
I'm gonna join one of these slave camps based on I'm gonna receive salvation. Yeah.
You know what, I'm gonna some of your messages that you preach. And listen to some of the titles. One of the titles says stop worshiping graven idols of slave masters as God.
Yeah.
It says, stop preaching a slave religion that cannot save an oppressed people. Another one says, following house Negro slave religion, preachers, our own destruction. These are messages that you preach in your congregation?
The reason he's saying that is because black people.
Let me respond to this lady. If you tune in It's not on the internet. Every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
I'm on WMQM in Memphis, AM 1600, preaching.
You pick that up if you're
Sunday.
In another state.
On the internet, bro.
Memphis,
internet. Okay. Are
but
you
he's
there,
saying
Dr.
that because he's probably saying that because you know when Africans were brought here, Africans met Christianity and slavery here in America. When Africans was brought down, when those people was brought across those waters, they was following tradition and Mohammedism. Missionaries had not worked their way down into West Africa during that period of time. The Portuguese missionaries only came down as far as what's today probably Senegal, but they had not worked their way down into Ghana and Nigeria and those areas, which, of course,
I'm glad you raised that question because one of the things that I put on the document that we're dealing with the Eddie Long situation, I think it's Matthew 25 and 13, where Jesus says, you travel over the land and sea to make a contact. And when you make him, you talk about missionaries, you make him twofold the child of hell than yourself. Now you go get it. That's what Jesus said about missionaries. And it is long. Exactly that.
He said in Matthew 25
and
what?
And made
Matthew 25 and what?
25 and 13. And
Matthew
it is long
25 and 13.
It is long recruit them, convert them, and made them twice the men of hell.
Then he 25:13. For you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man comes.
That's what Matthew 25:13 says.
I'm getting it with. Let me get my dad. Just hold what you got, brother.
Thyself approved. Rightly divided the word of truth.
I need. He needs to know that double. That four page doctrine.
While you're looking that up, then one of the things that you're saying, you're right. And you just, I mean, some of the things you say are so like, wow. A lot of people would be very offended. You said for centuries, black people have been socially brainwashed and theologically infected by a carefully manufactured slave religion plague that, to this day, renders black people politically fragmented. Socially
That's
divided,
right.
Culturally alienated, economically deprived, and psychologically self-destructive.
And tries to use it to support his argument.
It's 23:15, brother, in Matthew. You got a book, turn to it and read it. And what you just said, ma'am, is true. We're the most divided people in the world. Because we divided among 1,000 denominations and saying that we believe in one God.
Mm-hmm. But that's the people. That's people as a whole, though, not just black people. That's just people as a whole.
No.
He said Matthew 25:15.
No. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to us? They're not divided. Methodists, mm-hmm. Baptists, priests, they are all together. Mm-hmm. If you let me use his word. They all together. Can I say it N-word on you?
Nigga.
I don't say it, but you can say it, but I don't say it. But go ahead.
I don't say it either. I mean, they clear about what's going to happen to us. But we become divided when we go to talk about what's going to happen to them. We divide over Martin Luther King. And he's trying to free us. And we had as many black folk and his preachers, and I'm going to lead the vote, was against him and opposed to him.
Preachers were.
Let me ask you one more thing. I'm just fascinated by some of the things you say. You said prayer cloth. You said you are diametrically opposed to the commercial prayer cloth industry, the dollar prayer enterprise, the buying and selling of fraudulent holy dirt, prayer rags, healing fluids and oils, and other man concocted schemes on the false pretense that they will bring blessings to the buyers and believers. Who generations after generation remain deadlocked in an unbroken chain of social, economic, political, education, and cultural death. Really?
My ma'am, hold what you got now. Don't say it. That's your tweet. What is our condition now? What is black people's condition? We're at the sub bottom.
Black male.
Of the social realm in this country. Oh, yeah, but don't bring up the black male. And that's another reason that I have a controversy with Bishop Eddie Long. We already being destroyed in the jails and everywhere else, and then we're going to have a minister going to begin a movement that's going to destroy the black male, tyrannizing black men. Oh, yeah. Now, there is no deficiency. And I'll tell you, for me personally, now God can forgive, but for me personally, it's unforgivable.
We don't need the whisper.
Wait. You said you're on assignment from God. God sends you down to Georgia. And, but God can forgive, but you got a problem. You can't forgive. But God can forgive. But come on now.
No, I never told you God sent me to Georgia.
Oh, okay. Somebody said they went to Georgia.
No. You can't trivialize what this is. No. See, you preachers do that. I went down last night and had a conversation with God. No, I ain't had no conversation with God.
You had no conversation with God?
No. So let's be clear on that. Don't send
okay, you didn't
on
have
that
a conversation
week.
With God.
God
okay.
did not
send
me God
to Georgia. Except God will his labor.
So you're not one of the brothers down there in Georgia who's boycotting. You're not one of those brothers.
Boycotting.
No, I think he's saying he is actually boycotting, but he is not saying God sent him. Am I understanding you correctly, Dr.
Oh, okay, so God didn't send you.
Yeah, he said God sent me to Georgia. No, God didn't send me to Georgia. The lies, you hear me? The lies and the crimes against humanity perpetrated by Bishop Eddie Long against a young, vulnerable, impressionist black man child sent me to Georgia.
Okay, let's close out. We're down to the last 10 minutes. What should happen to Bishop Eddie Long, Dr. Richmond? What should happen to him?
He ought to be dismissed from that pulpit.
Jail.
Overthrown or deposed, and he ought to be relieved of everything to do with any money that comes through that church and have nothing to say about who is going to succeed him.
And overlook boys. He needs to go to jail. He's a pedophile.
So what should happen to all the money that he's collected in the, you know, the tithes and offerings and all that?
He ought to give it back to the people, but I mean, I can't see what's going to happen to that.
Okay. Is there anybody else at New Birth that's responsible besides Eddie Long for what went on for so long?
Oh, I'm sure that he had, you know, everybody's got their henchmen and cronies and people who know about it and participating from it and benefiting from it. Yeah. I'm sure he had a whole ring.
So should anybody else, you know, get caught up in this
thing? But I don't know of anybody else. But these young men stand and bear witness.
If Eddie won't call for a meeting with you all tomorrow, would you meet with him?
Yeah.
Okay. I would be scared if I've been down there marching in front of his church like y'all are. I'd be scared if he called me and said he wanted a meeting.
Well,
but y'all really want a sit-down meeting.
Y'all better be heavily armed.
Mark was scared marching in front of the white folk church, but he would meet with him.
I mean, well, you know, y'all are kind of down there on his
see,
church
y'all,
is what
y'all,
I'm saying.
Y'all forget our history. Hey, before you go Miss Hyde, before I go off, you forget now, listen. Moses marched out of Egypt after God had brought 10 plagues on Pharaoh, the last plague being a violent one, where he killed the first in every household of Pharaoh. And you're talking about Moses, yeah, and I'm sure he was afraid. Yeah, I'm afraid.
Okay. Okay. I just didn't know. I mean, would somebody come jumping the curve and aggressively coming towards y'all the last time y'all were down there? I was just wondering if he called for a meeting, you know, would y'all even show up now?
We would show up with due security. We wouldn't just go up and. All right.
Did what?
His mother was shot in church.
Exactly.
I was just saying Dr. King's mother was killed inside the church building.
But Dr. Richmond just said God didn't send y'all down there. So that's my point.
He didn't call us on the telephone and send us down here. But the mission.
And God didn't send them preachers. That money called them. I'm glad you read that. God didn't call them either. You didn't send them. That money sent them. And if you don't believe it, tell them you're going to take that money, and you won't have Creflo Dollar in the pulpit in the morning.
If we look at all the
and
leaders in the Bible, they all had something.
Well, speaking of Creflo Dollar, let me ask you real quick. Creflo Dollar told the people that the members of New Birth that came over there after the scandal broke, I guess, and were seeking membership at his church to go back. What do you think of him telling the members of New Birth to go back and support their pastor? That
we
they were not welcome there.
Mouth.
What did you think of that?
Now, I won't tell you something.
It's a dog, too.
Now, what you have called me to do, you have forced me to give you part of a secret that I wasn't ready to tell.
Oh, please. Uh-oh. I love
before
secrets
we on leave, this show. Before we leave the state of Georgia, we're going to pay Creflo Dollar a minute visit.
No, you're going to Creflo Church,
to you what we thought you were. Now, listen. No, I didn't say I was going to Creflo Church, did I?
No, you said you're going to pay him a visit.
I said before we leave Georgia, we're going to visit him a minute time and explain to you exactly what that means that he said. We were looking at his mouth when he said it.
Wow. Oh, that's going to be interesting. Okay. Because, you know, he told those other folks to go back, so I wonder what he's going to tell y'all.
Uh-huh. I tell you one thing he's not going to tell us.
What's that?
I tell you one thing, he's not going to tell us.
What's he not going to tell us?
He's not going to tell us to get off the street.
Oh.
But while we believe in the love of God and all the rest of the things, we also prepare to exercise our right.
But Georgia's a concealed carry state. You better be that.
Is it really? Okay. So let me go back to the prayer rags again, just for 1 second. So are you saying that any time a preacher uses blessed oil or prayer rags, that is not of God, that that's just some man-made concoction?
Do you know how many rags that Jesus was told to have worn and been brought out of the so-called Holy Land, where the three major religions have been bleeding each other for the last 2,000 years and told based on it's going to save you.
I don't know.
And Jesus had warned them in the cloth. And I sat in the pulpit behind a preacher once, slapping black folk in their forehead and knocking them down.
It's a game.
It's a game, ma'am.
Wait a minute. No, wait a minute. So you don't think anybody's ever been slain under the spirit, and you've been in the culture, church, and you know we're used
to
all those
things. I know the psychology. Listen, I can take a crowd myself and psych them into anything.
Oh.
I know my psychology.
Oh. So wait a minute.
But you know about the Holy Ghost.
So he doesn't believe in the Holy Ghost.
They talk about protesting, but are you talking about praying for this brother or praying for?
Exactly right.
You know, I hear a lot about protests, but do you believe in prayer, or do you put your people on prayers and fasts like you put them on protests? Because I believe in prayer, and I'm saying, if you say you're a church, I'm still trying to figure out what you guys are, a nationalist or a church. But I'm saying, like, you know, while y'all protesting, are y'all praying?
You be still, I'll tell you. We pray without ceasing. Jesus taught that you watch. He said, watch first, as well as pray. So we watching you black preachers who have been getting away for 400 years. All right? We watching. No, you're not going to
it's not just all natural. You know, I know the carnal man cannot understand the spiritual things because he's spiritually discerned.
Right, absolutely.
Believe in the Holy Ghost. I don't even know if you got the Holy Ghost. I don't even think you believe in it. But I'm just saying that.
They
said the Holy Ghost. Somebody from that group said that the Holy Ghost was false. Well, false Holy Ghost. Somebody from that group said. I don't know who did.
Well,
but
it is
false.
It was created.
I'm not off on tangents. Head along in his practices. And that corruption has widespread in the black church. We want to cleanse the black church of it.
Court, we say, you got to be a credible witness.
We can get some leadership.
In court. You don't have to be a credible witness. We need to hold you to that same standard.
I'll wait.
I'm just saying, in court, you got to be a credible witness. If you're going to testify against somebody, we got to look at your background, and we got
to
look at who you are. And from what you've been saying, if we were to vet you, you're not a credible witness.
Trying to go through intellectual gymnastics with me.
Wow.
I can tell you, listen to me, you out of your
whatever you need to call it, if we were to vet you, just in this conversation, you're not a credible witness.
We got to get out of here, y'all. That's going to be the final word. It's been very interesting, y'all.
I don't want to do that.
As we talked about the title, does the church need to be saved? We talked to the coalition called Christ. Christians holding religious institutions. We'd like to say thank you to Dr. Isaac Richmond, Terry Bain, Maxine. Bill Green, Helen Long, Maxine Thomas, Vonda Brown, Dr. Lauren Dew. Thank you so much for being with me tonight.
Hey,
thank you very much.
Dr. Lauren Dew, is that who that is? All that time that was Dr. Lauren Dew?
Dr. Lauren Dew. Dr. Dew doesn't believe in that mess of those folks. This is Dr.
Dew. Dr. Dew is on the line.
I am from Joy Christian Center. I believe
all right,
in God.
We hope to see you
I don't
guys
believe in all his
foolishness.
He's an apostate
just
man.
Just make the word become flesh and let it dwell among us.
He is an apostate, people. All that foolishness is apostate.
Hey, come on.
Listen to the host, y'all.
What do you think? That's true.
Up next, right, y'all, we're going to be talking about end time prophecies with Mr. Irvin Baxter. I think he's Dr. Irvin Baxter, out of Plano, Texas. Also, we want to remind you that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage, the host, or our advertisers. Also, in closing, thank you again to the guests for being here tonight. Thank you, the audience, for listening. Thank you so much for taking this ride with us throughout 2007. Happy New Year to everybody. This is Carrie Hyde signing off for 2011. I'll see you in 2012. Happy New Year.
Good. Yay. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.